Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Kama Peis Beis. We are right on top of the Amud V'Hoki Asa. So yesterday we learned a Braisa, which contained 10 takanos, 10 directives instituted by Yehoshua ben Nun upon entering Eretz Yisrael. The question is, it's not just 10, we seem to have more. Says the Gemara V'Hoki Asa Rav Abin. He quoted Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who added another one or two. Echad, Ilan HaNoite, Sadi Chaveri. So you have your tree, your fruit tree, at the boundary, at the property line, and it's leaning over to your friend's property. Noite L'Toich Sadi Chaveri. Or, another example, similar case, Vechad Ilan HaSamach L'Meitzer. You have a tree of yours growing right near the boundary. So, whether it's leaning over, whether it's just situated right there. So, it's drawing some, you know, nutrients. It's sustaining itself somewhat from your neighbor's property. Question is, are you allowed to bring that fruit as bikurim? Is it considered fully yours? Maybe bikurim, yeah. You can take the first growth, the first bikurim, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and recite the mikra bikurim, the parshiyos, as though it's fully yours. Why? Despite the fact that it's drawing somewhat, it's growing somewhat from your neighbor's property, this is one of the takanos Shalman asking. Hinchel Yehoshua Yisrael Sa'aretz. This was one of the preconditions associated with granting Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. Right? So that they should be giving, forgiving, generous, and living in harmony. So, why is it only 10? We should add this one as well. And Rashi points out, here it's a quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who was an Amora, he was not a Tana. And the Braisa clearly omits this 11th concept. So it's a Kasha Rabbi Yochanan. Answers the Gemara, you're right, there are various opinions, various counts, various lists with respect to the takanos. Elaman Tana, Asara Tanoin, Shehisna, Yehoshua. Who is the one who quoted that list, yesterday's list, which gives us only 10? It was another Amira by the name of Rabbi Shuvan Levihu. So Rabbi Shuvan Levihu was an Amira, says Rashi, even though his title is Rebbe, which is typical to a Tana, but we know that he lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan. And in Eretz Yisrael, even the Amoraim were titled with the term Rebbe. So bottom line, that list was presented not by a Tana, which would pose difficulty upon Rabbi Yochanan's edition. A Tana, an Amora, is not meant to dispute a Tana. Rather, the list was presented by an Amora, a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan. His name was Rabbi Shuvan Levi. So that explains it. There are different opinions in terms of how many takanos there were. In fact, Rav Gvir Mibei Kassel, Masna Behedya, he clearly related it to Rav Shuman Levi. Rav Tanchum, Rav Rais, Amri. So his version of this list was that was Rav Tanchum, was Rav Rais, Amri, who quoted an elder, a Zakin, Mishum Zakin Echad, who's he? Umanai, Rav Shuman Levi. That has this list of Asara Tanoin, Hisna Yeshua, but of course, others would add to the list. That completes the sugi of Asara Takanois of Yeshua ben Nun. Now we proceed to another similar sugi. Asara Takanois Tikin Ezra. So Ezra Hanavi, Ezra Sofer, instituted 10 communal directives for the benefit of all. First of all, he was masakin shekirin b'mincha b'shabbos to read the Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos afternoon during mincha, which isn't, you know, typical for a mincha tefillah, but on Shabbos we do so. V'kirin b'sheni b'chamishi, likewise we have Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays in the morning. V'donin b'sheni b'chamishi, and likewise he instituted that the Bezdin should set their schedule in a manner where they're in session on Mondays and Thursdays. U'machapsim b'chamisha b'Shabbos. And one is meant to do laundry on Thursday in honor of Shabbos. Lo'echlin shum b'Erev Shabbos. You're meant to eat garlic on Erev Shabbos? The Gemara will explain. U'shtei isha mashkemes v'oifa. On a day that the woman is, in any case, getting up to bake her bread, she should endeavor to do it early, early in the morning so that the bread is ready for the poor man when he comes to collect, you know, for breakfast. Furthermore, he was masaking that a woman should dress herself with this extra garment for its tznius, like some sort of like a skirt. And prior to immersing in a mikveh, for tumah purposes, the isha should first comb her hair to ensure there's no knots and no barriers. That the reichlin, the peddlers, selling all types of perfumes, should make their rounds in the towns and the cities, selling their wares for the women without any objection. Right? They should not be held back by the locals, claiming that they're, you know, interfering with their livelihood. They have a right to do so. There was a takana, so that perfume should be plentiful and available for all. And finally, v'tikein tevila lebalikaryan, in order to protect the purity and sincerity of Jewish men, he was masaking that we are tevil if we have the carry experience, the emission experience, and we do that before we engage in Talmud Torah. Okay, now we review all 10 items. Number one, shiur kairim b'mincha b'Shabbos. Why do we do Kriyas HaTorah during Mincha on Shabbos? Mishum yeshvei kronis, Rashi explains. Yeshvei chanuyos, those who hang around the street corners, the people that are busy engaged in selling their wares in the streets, etc. They're preoccupied with business matters throughout the week, and they can't make it. They don't make it to shul on Monday, even on Mondays and Thursdays. So we give them that extra sort of boost, an extra Kriyas HaTorah. On top of Shabbos morning, we add Shabbos afternoon. Second item on the list is v'sheyu kirin v'sheini u'v'chamishi. We have Kriyas HaTorah Mondays and Thursdays. This was instituted by Ezra. Really? Ezra tikein? V'homei kara hava mitakna. It's an old takana, predating Ezra's era, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Avraham. V'yeichu shleishes yamin b'midbar v'lo motzo mayim. Our nation traveled for 3 days, non-stop, without water. Those who had a deeper understanding, they expanded the deeper meaning of Rishumos of the Psukim, says Rashi. Amru, they presented a deeper meaning to this story. They didn't have water. Ein Mayim al Torah. Mayim here is a reference to spiritual waters, which quench our neshama, yearning for connection with Hashem. Shanamar hoikol tzomei l'chol ha-mayim. Anybody who's thirsty, go drink water. Well, obviously. No, we're speaking about spiritual waters. When a person feels that desire within him, physical desires, really, really, it's rooted in a spiritual deficiency. His neshama is yearning for completion, for satiation, for connection with his source, with Hashem. And the highest connection is engaging in Liban HaTorah, spiritual waters which satiate our soul. Our neshama becomes full and satisfied by that highest form of connection with Hashem, Torah, which is Hashem's wisdom. So by internalizing that chachma, we engage fully our mind, our heart, our body, our soul with Hashem. And what happened was, they were busy traveling without opportunity to sit down and learn. They started feeling thirsty and a void. Immediately they became weakened. So the Nevi'im amongst them got up and instituted, never again. They instituted a practice, a schedule, which ensures that we're never 3 days without Torah. 3 days is a recurring chazaka, never 3 days without Torah. So firstly, we have Kriyas HaTorah b'Shabbos. That ensures that we all engage in Torah somewhat. Sunday we have off. And once again we have Kriyas HaTorah on Monday. And Tuesday, Wednesday we don't. And back to Kriyas HaTorah on Thursday. And Tosfos asks, why in this increment? Why Sunday off, Monday on, Tuesday, Wednesday off, why not, you know, Tuesday and Thursday? So Taisa says, because the Medrash relates to us that Mondays and Thursdays are our special time of Eis Ratzon, because Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to Shemayim to receive the Luchos, and it was on Thursday, and he came back down with the final Luchos on a Monday. So it's an Eis Ratzon. So therefore, the Ukeveya, those days are special days to engage in learning, etc. So we have Monday, Thursday, Mafsik and Erev Shabbos. We skip Erev Shabbos. And the point is, Kadesh Shelo Yalinu, Gimel Yom B'Lo Torah. This ensures that we don't go by 3 days without learning. Clearly, this is a takana from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do we attribute it to Ezra? Way later. Answers the Gemara. There were different phases to this takana. Me'ikara, initially, Tiknu, they were misaken, minimal. Chad Gavar, Tlosa Psuki, one fellow gets up and reads three psukim. Inami Or, Tlosa Gavar, Tlosa Psuki, three people, each one a pasuk. Why three? What's the significance? Kenegat Chayhanem, Levim Yisraelim, corresponded to three classes amongst Klal Yisrael. Also, who taken Tlosa Gavar, Vasar Psuki? But Ezra came and added more. Three people get three aliyahs, each one three psukim. Sorry, three psukim, and then we add a fourth. To any one of those aliyahs, Vasor Psuki, for a total of 10. What's the significance of 10? To highlight the importance of Talmud Torah and having a constant presence of Torah learning amongst us. Keneged Asor Batlonin, says Rashi. Read it inside. Asor Batlonin, around 12 lines off the bottom. Asor Batlonin b'nei Adam k'sherim, righteous people, b'teilim melachton, off from work. They're fully dedicated to learning Torah. Like a kol lasek b'tzarchei tzibur, v'lovei koyd b'sakneset. They come to the shul. They're always there. They're learning. They're available to create that minyan to keep the shul active and alive. Kadeshi u'metzuyin asor le'satfilim esparasim shal tzibur, supported by the tzibur. That's the nucleus of Torah, to create this environment of Torah and tefillah in the village. So that's the point of asora psukim. Ezra was masaking to highlight the importance of that constant, presence, that active nucleus of Limud HaTorah in our towns. Okay, further down the list, we have V'donin B'Sheni B'Chamishi. So the Bezdin would officiate on Mondays and Thursdays. What's special about those days? Because that was a populated time. The Shchichid also, the Mikra B'Sifra, everybody's coming from the villages around the city to come to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. So it's a good opportunity to set up shop. V'Shiyu M'Chamsim B'Chamishi B'Shabbos. Why laundry on Thursday? Pretty obvious. Mishum kavayit Shabbos. V'shiyu eichlan shom b'erev Shabbos. What's the point of consuming garlic on erev Shabbos? Mishum oina, because it enhances, enables the oina experience. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, asher perio yitam b'itoy. So the point of engaging in physical relations with one's wife is unique if it takes place in its right time. Asher perio yitem bi'itoy. What's considered an appropriate time? What's the ideal moment? V'amar yudah v'item rav Nachman, some say v'item rav Kahana, v'item some say rav Yechnan. This pasuk relates to a person who's mishamish, yam mishamish mitos, and engages in tashmish me'er Shabbos, l'er Shabbos, on Friday nights. So therefore, in order to encourage and facilitate a proper mitzvah's oina, Ezra HaSofer was masakin, we should have shum, garlic, which, as we're going to see in a minute, enhances this experience. Tana Rabban, Chamisha Dvar Nemer B'Shum. There are five qualities associated with garlic. Masbiya, it satiates a person. Umashkin, it warms him. Umatzel Panim, it enhances his continence, his facial radiance. Umarbe HaZera, and increases our Zera, and that explains the connection to mitzvah so'ino. V'hoireig kinim shebibnei mi'ayim. It obliterates, eliminates the worms within one's intestines. V'yish oimrim, some add that it's machnes ava moitzes hakina. Rashi says, because it's mesameach asalev, it puts a person into a good frame of mind, a good mood. It's mesameach a person. Generally, when a person is happy, he's happy with himself, then he's happy with others as well. So it generates ava to people and eliminates jealousy. Okay, furthermore, on the list of takonis, she gets up early to bake her bread. The answer is Kadesh Tehei Pas Matsui L'Aniyim. Why? To have the bread available for the Aniyim that come around. The point of adding this garment on the Isha Mishum Tzniyusa to create another layer of Tzniyus. So lastly, second to last on the list, we have the Isha, who's going to clean her hair, ensure there's no chatzitza before tefillah. Well, that's a basic halacha, menat Torah. Why do we need a special deraisa, the tani bar, a braisa, that one cannot be tevil with a chatzitza? Pasuk says, Barachatz es pisori b'mayim. We should rinse himself, immerse his baser in water. Obviously, if you're going to the mikveh, you're going to get wet. The point of adding the word besara in the pasuk is to teach us that his actual flesh has to make direct contact with the water without any chatzitzos, without any barriers. The word es besari, is teaching you es hatafel besari. This includes the tefillah b'mikveh and all the associated guidelines, including lack of chatzitza, relates to even something which is subordinate to one's flesh. What is that? What's secondary to the basar? Mind you, seir. So not only do the chatzitza, the dini chatzitza, apply to the basar, but one must ensure that even his hair, which is sort of secondary to his guf, should be free of any chatzitzes. So we all know that from the psukim, from the braisa. Why do we need a new special takana? The answer is Amri, the Eraisa Leyuni. You're right, when a Torah, one is meant to examine, to inspect, that is free of chatzitzes. Dilma Mikta, perhaps his hair got knotted, Inami Mos, or perhaps there's something unclean, something there, there's some dirt. Inami Mos, Midi Mishum Chatzitza, to ensure he's free of chatzitze. That's it. But, Va'asa Iyu, Ezra came and added another layer of security, tikin chafifa. He was masaking that the isha should do chafifa, which Rashi says means b'masrik, combing with a comb, l'archaka demosa, to really fully ensure no chatzitza is present. Okay, furthermore, v'shiyu reichlin machzirim v'yorois, so the peddlers are meant to make their rounds, and there are nobody can object to their presence in the local towns. The reason is mishum tachshitei nashim, because they were promoting, they were selling the perfumes, and the point is kadei shelo yizganu abaleim. Ezra Sefer was took great care to ensure throughout the generations the women will have what to wear and to dress up before their husbands, so that they don't lose favor in their husband's eyes. V'tikin tefillah v'alakari. So you see, on one side of the equation, he promoted, proper relations and goodwill between the couple. On the other hand, the men should ensure proper purity. So it's like that delicate balance. V'tikin tefillah v'alakari. A balkari should be tevil before he goes and engages with divrei Torah. Asks the Gemara once again. That's a concept espoused in the Torah. Doiraisu dechsev ish kiseitim menashich vazera. Right? What happens? He must be tayvul. V'rochatzav sarer b'mayim. So what came through with this takana? Answers the Gemara. Yeah, you're right. Doiraisu l'trumah l'kachim. When a Torah, before a person engages in eating truma or karbana, he's got to clean himself. He's got to purify himself in a mikvah. Also, but Ezra came along and added another point. Tikin, he was masaking that one must be toivel to purify himself afilu divrei Torah before he engages with Talmud Torah. And Tosfos brings that halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like that nowadays. It's not a requirement, although it's brought down. The Rambam speaks about it. And of course, a person who seeks a higher level of purity should, of course, maintain this practice as well. Continues the Gemara. So we have the 10 takanos of Yeshua ben Nun, we have the 10 takanos of Ezra. Here comes another list of 10. Asara Dvarim, there are 10 items that are nemru b'Yerushalayim, which apply to Yerushalayim exclusively. 10 practices that were kept in Yerushalayim. Number one, Ein Habayis Cholotpa. Typically, when one sells a home in a Arei Chaimena, in a walled city, throughout Eretz Yisrael, so once that first year in which you have the opportunity to redeem the house, to take it back, once that passes, once that deadline is over, the house is now granted to the buyer permanently. But that doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. There's no deadline. You can always come back and refund the house. That's number one. A person, a victim of murder, is found near Yerushalayim. Typically, the city nearby brings a special Egla Rufa, not in Yerushalayim. Ve'en anas is Ir Nedachas. If the residents worship idols, there's no concept of the city being punished as Ir Nedachas. Ve'en matama b'negoyim, the house, negoyim, the nigei batim, if it were to be found in Yerushalayim, does not present a tumah concern. Ve'en moitzin ba'zizin because it destroys. When they build houses, they must ensure that there are no zizin, no beams, or gestroys porches out on the street, which can create a tumah hazard. Ve'en oisim ba'ashpatois, they don't have garbage dumps in Yerushalayim, again because of the concern of presence of tumah. Ve'en oisim ba'kibshenis, they don't establish furnaces in Yerushalayim. Ve'en oisim ba'ginois ba'ardesis, nor do they have gardens and orchards. Chutz, there was one exception to this rule, meginois v'rodin. Rashi explains, v'rodin typically means a verit is typically a reference to a rose, but here it's a reference to kipas hayardin, one of the ingredients of the keteris brought in the Beis HaMikdash. It's something which typically grows near the Jordan River. The reason why it was called vered, because in its shape it looks like a sort of a mini rose, so they needed this ginais v'rodin in order to grow this plant for the keteris. Shehoisaba Mimois Nevi'im Rishayim, which was there since the early days of the Nevi'im. Furthermore, Ve'ein v'gadlim batar negoyim, we don't raise chickens in Yerushalayim, Ve'ein v'melinin bas hameis, nor do we allow a deceased person to stay overnight in Yerushalayim because of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Ein, oh, so that, these are the 10 items. Now we go back and explain. Number one, Ein habayis cholot ba. So even if the year is up, the house can still be refunded and redeemed by the owner. The chsiv, the pasuk, in describing the halachis of the bayis that was sold, says like this: "V'kam habayis asher lo yichayim olatz misus l'koyin oisul de'roisav." So after the year is up, the house now is granted permanently to the purchaser, the one who acquired the home. V'kasavar, and we hold loy nischalkel Yerushalayim l'shvatim. In contrast to the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which was divided and allocated to the shvatim, each one got his own personal portion. Yerushalayim did not undergo that process. It remains sort of an international, fully accessible city belonging to Klal Yisrael as a collective entity. So although, you know, people would live there in own homes, the bayis you own, but not the territory beneath it, not the actual karka, the actual land is internationally owned. It's a national, you know, entity. And therefore, the pasuk l'koyna oisav, the one who acquired it, keeps it, it's his forever, that doesn't apply to a person dwelling in Yerushalayim. It's not, you know, really his personal possession. Ve'ena mevi'a egla rufa, there's no egla rufa, the pasuk says a similar idea, ki matzachol ba'adama, so we find the victim on the adama, asher Hashem elokecha nos nochal l'rishta, on the land which Hashem gave you as an inheritance, and that only relates to those portions which were allocated to the Shvatim, which became their personal possession, their personal estate, as opposed to Yerushalayim, which did not have that status. Yerushalayim, when it's chakul Shvatim, was not allocated to the Shvatim. Furthermore, ve'ein anas is ir anedachas, for the same reason, nechsiv arecha, because the pasuk uses the word arecha, it's your personal, city belonging to you, to your shevet. And that doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is chak l'shvatim, and that pasuk, of course, relates to Ir HaNedachas. And finally, we have another item on this track. Ve'ena metame v'negoyim. There's no concept of tumas negoyim there. D'chsiv yivnasati neged tzaras v'beis eretz achuzaschem. It's going to be in your place of inheritance. Yerushalayim is chak l'shvatim. Once again, for the same reason. Okay. Ve'en moitzin bazizim gestroyes. We don't have these overhangs on the streets of Yerushalayim. You know why? To preserve the tahara, because there were many passerby, you know, the oiler regalim, people would come and go, and Rashi explains, if there's any tumah beneath a porch, anybody walking beneath it, could be multitudes of people walking around, you're going to create a tremendous ribuy increase of tumah. Another reason is because there's so many people running around during the regal time, we don't want any things poking out the street for concern, for safety concerns. Okay, ve'ein oisim ba'ashpatos, nor do we establish dumps in Yerushalayim, mishum shkatzim, because of these rodents that are found there, and you know many of them die in the dumps, and you're going to have all kinds of dead, you know, shkatzim, which present a tumah concern. Nor do we establish furnaces. Mishum kutra. So Rashi explains, furnaces here were meant to be used to burn misreifos sid, where they burn lime, lekaderos, to produce, you know, pots and dishes. We don't want that in Yerushalayim, mishum kutra, for concern of the smoke coming out of these big, you know, commercial furnaces, which blacken the walls of Yerushalayim, and some say, some add, it harms the appearance of the Beis HaMikdash as well. Nor do we have these gardens, mishum sircha, because of the unpleasant odor which these places can generate. Rashi explains, because when they do weeding and they throw the weeds around, that can, you know, decompose. Likewise, the fertilizer used, so we keep it out of Yerushalayim. Likewise, you don't raise hens and chickens for a similar reason of the dumps. Mishum kachim, concerned about preserving the tahara of the karbanos. And typically, Rashi says, Tarnagoyim are known to make their rounds and pick and pull and take all kinds of not impure stuff and bring it around. Finally, we don't allow a deceased person to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. We bury him that day before, you know, the night's up. And the reason for this is Gemara. Rashi says, Gemara means Masar Sibiyadein, Vein Tam Ladavar. It's a tradition. We don't really have a reason for it. But on the side, actually, they bring Ein Hatam B'Zoyar Nosa. In Parshas Nosa, the Zoyar explains it based on the secrets of, you know, of Torah. So actually, the Zoyar does give the reason. He says, because nighttime is a time where Hashem sort of, you know, enable and empower the impure powers, you know, the spirits and all that, to sort of gain more footing, to be more dominant. Time of Hester, of darkness. So that's their sort of their territory, right? That's when they operate. And Zohar explains that a person who's left without a neshama is just a guf. The guf in itself is so, really so, you know, lofty, because it represents Hashem's, kaviyachal, Hashem's form, right? So the koyches hara are looking, they're searching to find, this is like a, you know, this is like perfect, you know, fodder for them, looking, finding a goof without a neshama who is sort of detached from the source of holiness, of purity of the neshama. So they sort of pounce on that goof and try to sort of, you know, connect to it and draw from it. So this combination of nighttime with a goof, you know, just lying in a vacuum, is something which attracts the keches hatuma. And therefore, specifically in Yerushalayim, which was a place of Kedusha, of Tahara, we need to preserve the status of Yerushalayim, and we try to avoid this type of, you know, enhanced Tumah presence. Interesting that Bizman HaZeh nowadays, we don't necessarily keep, you know, all these halachis and Mefarshim explain, because they're not really relevant nowadays for many, you know, we don't really have the Beis HaMikdash, etc. You know, they were in Golas, the Goyim are sort of, you know, running the show. So the Takanis were not necessarily meant for nowadays, but interestingly, we do keep, even nowadays, you go to Yerushalayim, they're very careful not to do Halonas HaMeis. They quickly bury the mace, they don't allow, you know, the mace to stay overnight. And the Mefarshim explained, because this is, you know, related to the inherent Kedusha, holiness of Yerushalayim, which of course is very much there even nowadays. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ein megadlan chazirim b'chol makom. This is back to the Mishnah. We don't raise chazirim anywhere. Wherever you are, no chazirim. Tana Rabban, k'shetzore. What led to this takana? K'shetzore beis chashmonai ze'alzeh. So there was a very unfortunate episode, a chapter within our history, where the descendants of the Chashmonai family were both vying for control, for kingship. So they were actually two brothers, and they were sieging each other. So there was one brother on the outside of Yerushalayim laying siege on the other brother inside. Hurkunus, that was one of the brothers, Mibifnim, he had his, you know, he set up shop inside Yerushalayim. Aristobulus, his brother Aristobulus, was outside in Bachutz, and he laid siege on Yerushalayim. Rashi says there were brothers, Achim Hayu Umariven Advar Malucha, fighting about the Malucha. Okay? So they were stuck inside without any access. The Beis HaMikdash was still standing. And they had no access to animals for karbanos, for the karban tamid, which was required daily. So they had this arrangement. So even though they were fighting pretty violently, but that much they gave them, they allowed them to have karbanos. So every day, every morning, they would send out a container filled with coins over the wall. And the ones outside would exchange the coins for karbanis, for animals. But there was one fellow there, an older man, wasn't a very astute fellow. He was an expert in Greek, language, culture, and he was going to use that. He was on the inside, and he was trying to side with the fellows outside. So he gave them advice. Amar lahem, he tells them, using this sort of Morse code, Kol zman she'oiskim b'avodah, you should know one thing. As long as the ones inside Yerushalayim are going to be engaged in avodah and karbanos, that's going to protect them. Ein nimsar b'yadchem, they're not going to be given over to your hand. You have no chance. Basically, stop the deliveries and you'll win the war. Lamachar, so what happened was, the next day, Shilshalim Diranim Bekupa. So, unbeknownst to them, they figured they'll do their daily exchange. They sent out the coins. And what happened? Vehelu Lahem Chazir. The ones outside were brazen enough to send up a Chazir. Kivin Shegel Achetze Achayma, who was being pulled up from the guys inside were pulling it up. And as soon as the Chazir reached halfway up the wall, it had such a terrible effect on Eretz Yisrael, the tumah, not tziperna b'chayma. So, as the way as is expected of a chazir was being dragged, he sort of entrenches his he gets his nails tacked on the ground. In this case, he tacked it onto the grabbed onto the chayma of Yerushalayim in his daz Eretz Yisrael, and the whole Eretz Yisrael shook and trembled. Arba meis parsa, al arba meis parsa, 400 by 400 parsa, huge land of Eretz Yisrael. It just tremored, it quaked because of this terrible, terrible episode. And the Chacham saw how this came about because of the Chachma Yevonis that this Zaken was using to make this terrible arrangement. So they declared, Amru, Arur Ha'ish Shigad L'Chazirim. So first of all, cursed is a person who raises Chazirim, which was a catalyst for this misfortune. Varra Adam. Likewise, curses a person who promotes, who teaches his kids this Greek culture, and in fact, relating to that dark period, we learned a Mishnah in Maseches Menaches. Typically, the grain for the Karban HaOmer was picked from right outside Yerushalayim and brought while it was still moist and fresh, and the material for the Shtei Alechem as well, the wheat for the two breads on Shavuos, was typically delivered from a local farm. But this time around, the areas around Yerushalayim were scorched, were burnt because of this siege, and they had to go find these materials from far, far away. Ma said there was a story, the Omer was brought from this distant town called Gagai Satsri from the Shtei Alechem. The material for the Shtei Alechem was brought from likewise a distant area of Bikas in Soichar because of this terrible war. Interesting, Tosis says that actually the Arur Ha'ishi Gad HaChazirim just mentioned happened way later than the other way around. He says that the whole story with the Malchus Beis Hashmonai took place before, many, many years before the halacha found in our Mishnah. So basically, it was a two-phased process. Firstly, there was the story with the Beis Hashmonai, which resulted in the double error for the Chazirim and for the Yevonis. And at that point, Tosfos says, if a person insists he wants to raise Chazirim or whatever, he's not really going against a takana. Error, okay, fine, he gets an error. He's not going to get bracha, but later on, the Chachamim made a gzera, they established no raising chazirim, etc. So that second phase is reflected in our Mishnah, which says le'ga'in gan chazir b'chol makom. That was the final takana of the chachamim, that one is meant to keep away from chazirim. Okay, bottom line is, we expounded on the 10 takanas of Yeshua ben Nun upon entering Eretz Yisrael to encourage, you know, harmonious living amongst Klal Yisrael. We have the 10 takanas of Ezra relating to, once again, various communal, you know, benefits, whether it's Taka, whether it's Nias, whether it's Shalom Bayis. Then we have the 10 takanas, some things which are unique to Yerushalayim. A lot of it relates to the fact that Yerushalayim is a communal asset belonging to Klal Yisrael. Meher be'ibanav, meher be'imenu, amen.